How many of you have all the lessons up until lesson 4? That'd be 1, 2, and 3. Not necessarily with you, but you have it in your study room, in your closet. You know, wherever you studying. Okay. If not, for those who are here who I got lessons 1 and 3. Or do you have, how many have lesson 1 and 3? One? Okay.
Who need a 3?
One? One?
One?
One? The kingdom? Three? Everybody got 3? One. One.
I just saw 3 on top of it. I didn't know.
We good?
Like this one right here. So you got a 3 there, and you got a 3 here.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't know if it was the same thing or not.
Oh, okay.
That's why.
Yeah.
You know what you were doing, but she got that one. She got that.
Yeah. And some of these are, and what I'm giving out here is the residuals of what was left over that we put out here for people just to grab. But since we have some new people, if you don't have the ones in this series, let me know and Brother Reed to get them to us. But, okay. Because what we're going to do, we're going to slow our roll and have some discussion. And what we're going to do, if we get to it, from all eternity, you'll get that right now, number 4. There you go, brother. That's lesson 4. You have 4? Okay. No, 4 is next week. What we're going to try to do is get the next lesson out the week before, right? And you'll get a chance to read it. Then we're going to watch the brother from university, the Christian Heritage University, and then we'll discuss it the next week. Yeah, we want to get soaked in this. You know, your mama used to say, boy, let that soak.
I got it.
We got it for 4? Well, that's not Ebonics. Maybe it is. But let that soak. You know what that means, huh? Let it marinate. All right, for the chefs in here and people that cook. Let it get juicy. Hey, when you tell something that's juicy, it's been what? Marinated.
So which one we need for today?
4. Huh?
4. You have 4 today, but we're going to review 1, 2, and 3. Because what we're talking about is where the church is, where the church is going, and where we want it to be when Christ comes back. That's what he's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back for the church. And so, and church mean a whole lot of things to different people. When people gather on the roof, quote, in the name of God. But what God wants us to understand, and through the history of time, who we really, really are. So we started off in this lesson in lesson 1. Churches of Christ have long emphasized the close relationship between the kingdom of God and the church. And we've been talking about kingdom for the last 2 years coming out of COVID. What kingdom? Remember we did a whole series. We We brought in Brother Larry Nunley, started it all with Kingdom Living. You remember? And he gave us an understanding, like the Bible gives us an understanding, that when Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's God, that's Christ's prayer. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Well, the kingdom of God, the Bible's always taught, God has always been a king, the King of Kings, right? He sent his son Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. And in order to have a kingdom, you have to have three things. And what's that? For a king to exist and to have a kingdom, what's the three main components of a kingdom? You have to have the subjects, right? Huh? A palace? Yeah, king has a palace. And that which the kings live in is a palace, to be adorned and be beautiful and majestic and identifies with the king, because the king ain't dealing with Rudy Pooh, right? When you look at these boys over in Arabian nations, they everybody in the family got a jet, right? When you say kingdom, you're talking about the richness, right, of all the earth has to offer. When God talks about a kingdom, you're talking about a king, right? The people, the subjects, and the territory. Right? And so God has always dealt with that. We know, we said that when you study the Bible, you study world history. Now you talk to a professor at whatever university, when they say world history, God might not even enter the picture. Right? Because if you're going to go way back and all the in academia, quote those people that study things, usually start off with what theory? And believe in that theory. The what?
The Big Bang.
The Big Bang theory. With something out of nothing created something. But when we talk about God and his kingdom, God had to get man to understand, first of all, going back to his word, Genesis. I mean, that Genesis, when you read the Bible from Genesis all the way through the Old Testament, it's the only thing that makes sense. Because historically, you can look at it. It's in God's word. God created man, right? And from man, God put them in the garden, his territory is the earth, right? And gave them what? Instructions on how to live. That's it. That's beautiful. The kingdom of God. And then we know in reading through the Bible, how things transpire. From Adam to Eve, from listening to the king, God, to listening to. Remember, we said that if you want an understanding, Revelation's the 12th chapter, where the creation of all things, God in heaven, Revelation talks about God supreme and angels that he made adored him, and that one particular angel, Lucifer, the angel of light, the Bible talks about. pretty much orchestrated and oversaw the worship of God. And we need to read Revelations pretty much 12, 13, 14. You need to just read. We as God people and understanding the kingdom need to understand our history and how important we are. Because we're at the end of the story. If Jesus come back, or if he doesn't, we want to die and our whole being be devoted to the kingdom, which is God, right? That's our purpose. And so what we've been trying to do is look at that. When Satan caused the rebellion and said he wanted to build his kingdom and he wanted Isaiah the 14th, 13th chapter, says he was going to build his kingdom above the God's kingdom. And there was a war in heaven, and Satan was cast down, also his buddies. The Old Testament tells us at least a third of the angels fell with him. And because they refused to repent, they can't repent. Matthew's the 25th chapter says going to be a time when all those that's rebelled against God are going to be cast into the lake of. See, we get them little buzz, lake of fire. Oh, I know what that is. And what I'm trying to get us to see is there ought to be words that just whet our appetite and give us an understanding of who we are, because nothing's new under the sun. Satan is still doing the same old tricks, and it's not going to change. We sometimes fall for it, but because of the Holy Spirit in us, we get up. And that's the power of repentance. But when looking at the kingdom, we understand through scriptures that God's purpose was always to be identified and for us to identify and know him. He's the reason for all that exists. And so he promised God's people through the bloodline of Abraham. You remember Genesis start? And by the time you get to chapter 6, God is what? Fed up with the world. Because man is starting to listen to the lies of Satan, right? Through the bloodline of Adam and Eve, their first son. You remember? We say Cain and Abel. You remember those stories? God required a sacrifice, and he requires a sacrifice from us. We're talking about world history. We're talking about a government right now in the midst of time when we're debating and like some people, older Christians say, God's country. You know, we're America, hey, what it used to be. Ever since abortion came in and ever since this, all that stuff been around since Satan been in this world. And man has to make a decision whether he gonna follow God, the word of God, or go with the trends. And so when he talks about government in the world and a kingdom, look at what's happening in the world. Turn on your TV. The Cain and Abel thing is that's what's happening in the world. Cain and Abel, God's children. God required a sacrifice. He said, Cain and Abel, I want the best of what you have in this earth. Until you live in this earth no more anymore. That's our reward in heaven is what we do here according to God's will. Because of the fall of men, what happened with Adam and Eve, they sinned, they disobeyed God's word. And because of that, everything that we see that's happening in the world is happening. But it ought to not be happening in the kingdom. And that's what we're trying to come to understanding, because if we can't appreciate that, we want to appreciate the church and how important we are in this world. So God, through Adam and Eve, God told them, to Cain and Abel, I want a sacrifice, give me the best. Abel did that. He brought God the best of what he had. Cain was like, you take what you get. Right? That's how we treat God sometimes. When it's convenient to give him our best, we do. But do we meditate on giving him our best? That is knowing that God, the same God that feed the birds, even though he don't drop the seeds in the nest, right? Everybody here has a way of making it in this world because God has blessed you with certain gifts. And what we should do is pat each other on the back and encourage one another to do good, because when we do good, we have to know it's because of what God is doing in our lives. And we're going to get to that, the church. But what we want to understand is that when Cain and Abel came before God, God has noticed that Cain was downcast. He wasn't satisfied with his brother Abel. And God said, what are you mad with Abel for? He's only doing what I requested of him to do. He said, but I want you to know the same Satan that knocked at your mom and your daddy door back there in the Garden of Eden, he knocking at your door now. So all you need to do, Cain, is repent. Repentance has always been around. It's part of the king's mercy to his subjects. We don't have a king that step on you and demand. He says, because I'm loving you so much, I want you to give me the best of what you have. And so Cain jumped up and said, yeah, I'm with the program, God. But as he walked down the road, he started to realize that he loved himself more than God. And if you love yourself more than God, you certainly not going to love your brother, right? Because the old joke, y'all know the joke, huh? How long did Cain hate Abel? As long as he was able. And so it comes to your wife. We talked about that. It comes to your husband. It comes to your mama. It comes to everything. Because in life, we all confronted with, okay, who going to be first in this situation? And how much I'm going to give up because I'm connected to God to get my brother and sister where they need to be. Well, the same thing. God said, come here, let's have a talk, right? The New Testament says, if your brother sinned, go to him. And if you can't make it right, bring some brothers. And then they can't do it right. He said, tell it to who? How simple is that? But how simple is it to just go help your brother? You help him with his stuff, and he gonna help you with your stuff. And then when y'all come to make the sacrifice, the stuff's gonna be good. God don't need no stuff. He created the cows, he created everything. But what he does need is a people that gonna be sanctified by his word. His word sanctifies. So we're looking at that, the kingdom. So now, right, by time you get to the sixth chapter, that's all out of the door. And God says, it grieves my heart that I created man. He created man out of his goodness that man might share and be like him. To see what is good compared to, you know, you could smell when something bad. That don't smell good. That God just created is that, right? I never forget about your mama and you know some of the stuff you just learned from your mama. You say, wait a minute, boy, before you eat that, let me smell that. She smelled it coming out the refrigerator. But you hungry and you ain't smelling nothing, right? We just want to put it in our belly. Well, that's what Satan offers us. Satan deals with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And that's why he was kicked out of heaven. And so we spend our whole life with our eyes wide open. My mom used to call it, boy, that's a big-eyed person. You done heard that. Oh, they bigoted. Them words there, huh? Bigoted mean look at what I got and what you don't have. And if you want some of it, you got to come bow. You got to kiss the ring. And people treat spirituality like that. Oh, I went to the best Christian colleges there is. And I'm blessed. You better read all that stuff when you see it. It's being exposed everywhere in the world. But ain't nothing new under the sun. So by the time you get to the sixth chapter of Genesis, God said, I'm ready to. We need to just be satisfied with Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because we're a good team. These jokers just won't get with the program. And all we giving them is what? Ourselves. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit has always been. You read that in Genesis. You read that with God's people coming through the desert. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. And that's for another study. And we're going to look at that somewhere down the road. But he found one person that was doing his will. And we know that was who? Noah. See, God's spirit is good. Somebody go taste it and it's going to be sweet to them. And they're going to understand that without God, there's no meaning to anything. Look at what's happening with the rich and famous. Look what's happening in government now. What is right and what is wrong? Let's take a vote on it, what's right and what's wrong. I don't have to vote on what's right and what's wrong. Just read what we're voting on. Right? We look at abortion and all the things that divide the country. You're right with God. I don't need no legislation to tell me that murder is murder. And if I got God, I can repent of what gone wrong, and I can get right. That's in any situation, right? And so what we're talking about, church, is we're trying to put things in context that God has never really been far away. From the beginning of man, the story is always the same. So Noah, God gives him a program. We're going to start all over. And what he did, he said, I want you to get two of that which is clean, two sets of it, and that which is unclean. We'll load up the boat, you and a few people. The Bible talks about a few people. He's talking about eight people. Noah, his sons, and their daughters. That's why I got that wrong in school. I said, wait a minute, a few is two. No, Banks, it's not eight, it's two. But we have to deal with it what things are, right? That's why sometimes we got to know when you're talking God and somebody, if somebody tells me we want to have a Bible study, but we can't bring the Bible in. Wait a minute, you want to talk about God? Because you can't talk about God without a Bible study. Because we know they got all kinds of gods. Remember Paul experienced that? He said, as I go through your country, you got statues of everything, but you got one to the unknown God. Let me tell you about him. That's what we're talking about this morning, church. That's what the church always ought to be talking about. When we come to church on Sunday, that's a declaration that God has passed. On the first day of the week, I want you to meet wherever you are in the earth. And if you can't, I want you to sanctify it in your heart and you be with. We all been played where we couldn't be at the church on Sunday, but the church is the people. The people come to glorify the King. If your heart is right, if you're cutting your fingernails in Texas and doing whatever, because it ain't the place, it's in your heart and mind and knowing, wait a minute, I've been invited. If you got an invitation from the president or you got an invitation from the mayor, if you got a, you think, wait a minute, boy, that's some serious connections. I'm going to be there. I don't care who the president is. I got invited. That means somebody know me. Somebody down the line say, you ought to get this person there. How much God appreciates you that he give you an invitation. With all that you go through hell during the week, he said you come to remind yourself that you're in the world, but you're not of this world. We're talking about the church, and we're going to get there. And we're going to get there because we have to do homework. And you know one thing about homework? It's never over. Not if you want to be successful in anything you do, Sister Peter. In business, you better find out what the other people are doing. Huh? Them Subway commercials ain't free, huh? You know, you have to, we have to be connected with one another. What secrets you have and I have that we can, now some stuff just ain't your business. Huh? But when it comes to God, well, you got no hidden agendas. I can't do something for God and can't tell you about it. Not if I'm doing it for God. Yeah, I was over at the Green Frog with a Bible study, brother. That you just... Some things just not profitable. Some things just not reasonable. Some things just don't make sense. But that's the power of the Holy Spirit to direct us in that. Abel had the power of the Holy Spirit because God was on his mind. I'm doing this here. Because, boy, I wanted to get it right. Because when I go to give it to God, I want him to be happy with me. What are we stirring around for? Because there's going to come a time we're going to, man, young people dying now. So, load up the boat. The flood come. Everything is destroyed. Everybody get off the boat. Chapter 6, by the time you get to chapter 10, man doing good. And we're right back to Cain and Abel because you know what they're saying? That's God is all right, man. He got us doing a lot of stuff. But we're going to work our way back to heaven. They say they're going to build a tower back to heaven. So old Slewfoot, Satan, is operating again, huh? He's operating in the hearts of men. They say, matter of fact, we're going to make our own bricks out of our own stuff. We don't need God's stuff. So when we get up there, we could tell him, ha, look at us. Boy, that look at us, that's trouble, boy. The man in the mirror, you better see him for who he is. And the mirror is the word of God. If you're looking in the mirror, it's easy to forget because you know how comparison become? We compare one another. We compare the church down the road. We compare the the church on YouTube that's being exposed. Stuff go for a while, lights and glitter, huh? But it's hard for man to keep that going, huh? It's hard for man to keep that going. So when you get to chapter 11 in Genesis, God said, look at them jokers. They just got off the boat. Clothes hanging on the line still. All their stuff ain't even dry yet. And look what they're doing. And so what he says, I'm going to confuse there and scatter them throughout the world. That's mercy, people. That's mercy, because he could have gone back to the flood thing or just spoke the word and it'd been over. But there's somebody always in the crowd that's trying to do right. That's the Christian. That's the church. That's the mercy that continues in this world. And we got to be that. That's what we're talking about, the church. But church and kingdom, we got to understand. So out of all them people scattered out of the world, and what you're looking at right in front of you, Abraham and his tribe, and God says, Abraham, out of your people, I'm choosing you to separate yourself. And I want you to go over yonder. Over yonder? Yeah. Just keep walking till I tell you to stop. That's where yonder at. So he takes off him and Sarah, and he says what? Through you, Abraham and Sarah, I'm going to create a nation of people more than the stars. I'm 100 and she 90 years old. Come on now. And we know how that story went. Because they couldn't wait on God. They couldn't be willing to do God's will. Sarah gave Abraham her maidservant. Ishmael. That's some of what's going on now, even still over there over in other parts of the world. That whole thing. But we know that was fulfilled. And that kingdom that God was going to create was going to come out of the bloodline of Abraham and Sarah. And that did happen. Because through their children, Joseph and Reuben and the 12 boys, right? Jacob's name was turned from Jacob to what? You hear it on the news all the time. Israel, right? 12 tribes, 12 nations. Because what we don't understand, and out of that 12 tribe, if you read it, and that's what we study in Genesis, all them 12 people created, and they were having children too. I mean, they had their wives, and then they had their concubines. And that's how the world started being populated in that line of people that God drew out of Abraham, right, and Sarah. And to the point to where you get now, Joseph was born out of the 12 of Israel from Jacob turned Israel, right? The 12 tribes are formed. And by the time you get to the 36th chapter of Genesis, right? You got Joseph, one, he's trying to do right according to his father. And the father, God. We got to read this stuff and see. Joseph was a bit of a, I'm going to tell daddy. So when Jacob, Israel, looked at his son Joseph, he like, look, y'all go out there and tend the farm, whatever. But Joseph, you keep an eye on them boys. That's how Joseph was. That's why Joseph ended up where? Huh? In the pit. We're talking about the kingdom of God. Joseph ended up in the pit and was sold to who? The Egyptians. Right? Huh?
I think it was the Ishmaelites.
The Ishmaelites that, look, we all that lineage stuff, we just need some slaves. And we talked about that 2 weeks ago. Slavery ain't nothing new. Right? We celebrated Martin Luther King's day because we want to remember our history as a people. But just about everybody on this earth that went through some craziness because it's the devil's work. Right now, slavery in Africa and a lot of places is as big as it ever been. I digress, but I'm trying to get us to see that ain't nothing new. Same old soup, just warm old. So, we know the famine happened, right? We know what all that Joseph went through, and he became number one guy, right? In Potiphar's house, over everything. God is still working. God continues to work. And we know that God ended up moving the Israelite, that the people that was called out of the world, right? That was called out of the world through Isaac, through Jacob, through all of the bloodline to save a people. And they ended up where? In Egypt, and they ended up what? After a while, after Joseph done died, and Joseph ain't that tight with the Israelites, not that tight with the Egyptians, they end up slaves. That nation of people that God said is going to create. And then what happens? God sends Moses to deliver his people. A guy that was born out of, really, you remember? Pharaoh said, look, we're not going to have abortion, but we're going to do the every male child that's born up to a certain year, they got to die. You remember that? And so Moses' mama saw that something different about this boy. And remember, she pitched the basket and put him in the river, and then send her daughter, who's working with Pharaoh's daughter. She finds the basket. Pharaoh's daughter looks in it, and God is working. This stuff, this is our lineage. We need to know about this. So at this point, right, Marion, Moses' sister, said, oh, wait a minute, I know somebody that could nurse her, right? Because it wasn't like you wouldn't go and get no formula for no more. Huh? Woman had to have, woman, God supplied what she needed in her breast until the baby was called what? Wean. And we know that story. So Moses grew up to be a warrior, one of just like Pharaoh's boys, right? But he never forget where he came from. And church, I don't care what happens, what goes on, we can't forget where we come from. That God put us in the church through the watery grave of baptism. We can't forget that. That's an individual thing. Because we're not going to heaven as a church. We'll have the wisdom and understanding and who we are to be able to recognize Oh man, we made it. God's word was true. We could believe that. We could rejoice. He's talking about the church. He's talking about that group of people called out. God has always used just a remnant of people to do his will. And so, Moses delivered his people out of Egypt. And where does he bring them? To the foot of the mountains of Moriah, where God says, let me have a talk with them. Now they understand where they came from and who I want them to be. Well, that should be every one of us that came out of the world. We came out of religion, we came out whatever we came out, but we came to an understanding of the history of who God is and what he wants for us. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And the moment we stop hearing the word of God, our faith, and we find ourselves right back with the people building the tower. That's what people are doing. Internet, Facebook, whatever you want to call it, everybody is independent, and you see the whole thing working. The good thing about it, Sister Butler, we can use it for the grace of God. It's all right to celebrate family. It's all right to celebrate godly relationships, because the world needs to see, ain't it about you? It's about what God is doing in our lives. And we can use that always, all day. So when we look at the kingdom and God calls a remnant of people from Genesis through Exodus up until the time of Jesus, God is saying, people, I'm with you. When you look at 1 Samuel, the 7th chapter, God said, I'm going to create a kingdom that's going to obey me. And that was the Israelites through God. Through David's bloodline would come the true king. And that's who? Jesus Christ. Jesus came through the bloodline of Jesse. A Jew, but his mom was from this earth, but his father was from heaven. And that's the story. So now you switch. Now Jesus comes and he talks about the kingdom. My will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I've called you out of the world into the kingdom. Now the Jews and the people that Jesus chose, the 12 disciples, they're reflecting on what all their people have gone through as living in this world. They had been subjected to just about every civilization, all them people that God sent out through the world, Israel had to deal with. When you look at Daniel, and Daniel talks about a kingdom is going to be established. Remember the statue? And he explained to King Nebuchadnezzar that there are different civilizations that's going to happen. He's talking, Daniel's making that prophecy after God's people had gone into bondage. After everything God had tried to do with them, that's what the Old Testament is about. Isaiah, the prophet, say, y'all need to get with God's program. Y'all need to get with God's program. God said, I have enough with you. He's sending the Babylonians. He's sending the Assyrians. And they took them off, right, for 70 years. And prophecy was fulfilled. So Daniel prophesied to King Nebuchadnezzar, who you could say the America Russia and all the whoever big power now, you know they're not doing God's will. Just look at governments falling to pieces. You pretty much got war just about every day, and we just dropped some bombs on people for the sake of keeping peace. You're dropping bombs for the sake of keeping peace. What gonna come out of that? And then you're saying, now we hope that nobody not too ticked off that we didn't drop a bomb on your mama house. Church, we're in a good place. God has always tried to put his people in a good place, and a good place always to be allegiance to the King, God Almighty. And so that's what we've been trying to look up. We've been trying to come to an understanding in our mind. We're trying to come to an understanding of this story that we can truly appreciate the church. And so we're going to pick up where we left off next week. Where we left off at? Where did we leave off? Huh? Being salt of the world, called out of the world, God's people carried off the bondage, and Daniel make a prophecy. That's what we're going to pick up. Let's bow in prayer. Dear God Almighty, we praise your holy name, and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, dear God, that you sent your word, dear Lord, that we have your word that gives us an understanding of this world, dear Lord, and your love for mankind. We thank you, dear God, that we come to this point in our lives that you place us in your kingdom with an understanding of who you are and what you would have us to be. We thank you that you gave us your Holy Spirit when we were baptized in Christ. And by your Holy Spirit, it draws us here this morning to honor you on the first day of the week. Dear Lord, we want to remember and understand who we are, that we might be where you are. Continue to give us the courage to study your word, to have a desire to know you, that we might know individually what you would have us to do in your kingdom, the church. We ask your blessings in Christ's name. Amen.